Welcome to Future CEOs.
I've been here the whole time, so thank you for the welcome. I appreciate it. We're here at the LeaderX 2015 Expo. There are so many big brands, big people here.
I can't believe the caliber of conversations that we've had, the caliber of people that we've had, and what we've given people to take home and to use as tools. So we have to thank Accenture.
Yes,
Accenture. We have to thank Mercedes-Benz.
And that's the Mercedes-Benz right
cool,
over there.
Behind Please us, go and check that out.
You can touch it. You just can't have it, okay? Everyone?
Contemporary events.
Yes. And that's why this place looks so good.
And the future itself, Cliff Central.
They really are the future. They're our family. We're very grateful to have them. Let's jump into this conversation.
Okay.
I guess what you guys don't know is we often like to have people introduce themselves to see how humble they are.
Yeah.
So, Alon, let's start with you. Clive, we'll come to you in a moment.
Sure.
You'll be able to gauge how humble you need to be based on what Alon said.
I'd rather go second.
Okay. Alon, please tell everyone who you are. We know who you are.
With that humble intro. My name's Alon Reyes. I am the founder and CEO of Reyes Corp. And what we do is we grow entrepreneurs, profitable entrepreneurs. And we've been doing it for 15 years.
Sure.
We were part of the pioneering incubation in this country. It's 15 years in, and I still can't wait for Monday every Sunday.
That's a really, really nice thing to be able to say. Here's one thing that you may have left out. You tell me if I'm wrong or right. Isn't Reyes Corp one of the biggest or the biggest incubation hubs on the African continent? Is that right? Am I underselling it?
Yeah, we're the largest private incubator on the African continent. We have 6 operations around South Africa, 1 in Angola, and various other types of interventions around the country. I'm a one-trick pony, entrepreneurship.
Okay. Which is great because that means you're a specialist and you're the right person for this kind of conversation. Clive, you're also, certainly in my opinion, the right person for the conversation. Tell everyone else and convince them. Pitch it to us.
Fantastic, thanks. I'm a two-trick pony. I'm a one-trick pony. I've had a corporate life and I've had an entrepreneurship life, and I'm a venture capitalist now as well.
That's three.
I don't do my math very well. But really where I started out was, I started my entrepreneurial career when I was 8. I built a little business. I actually sold the business, I think for 20 rand at the time.
Oh, wow.
It was actually a lot of money at the time. I then went to university and I did a applied maths and a computer science degree. And I had my dreams of always being an entrepreneur. So we were going to set up a security company on mainframe. And literally 2 weeks before I started this company, I was going to be the CEO. I'm going to use the word seduced by Accenture, which is one of our sponsors. And I was promised this overseas trip and flying to Chicago. I'd never been in an airplane before. So I decided, I'm going to put a pin in my entrepreneurial dreams. And 28 years later, I retired. So I was the CEO of Accenture South Africa. We built a multi-billion rand business, about 2,500 people. And core to me of building that business is about human capital. It's about people. It's how to grow and unleash the human capacity and human potential from people. Since I left Accenture 3 years ago, I've really been working in the townships. I've been working in the rural areas, really trying to give back and impart that knowledge that I've gained through helping hundreds of businesses and realizing that success leaves clues. Realizing and learning from the best entrepreneurs, the best marketing, the best sales, et cetera, and imparting that back to people that I was ahead of on the journey. I've also joined a venture capital company, and we're a Section 12J venture capital company, and we're setting up 3 funds. One's a tech fund, which I'm gonna chair, an alternative energy fund, and thirdly is a hospitality fund. So that's my background.
Who is not convinced anyone?
We have to be humble.
We're very lucky and very fortunate. We are talking about mentoring and about coaching. Kluby, you've got a list of questions.
Who coached Steve Jobs? Mentoring or coaching? Both, one or the other?
So I have to start off by saying that I don't believe there's an answer to that. So I believe that the answer lies in who the recipient of that mentoring or coaching is. So we started off 15 years ago and we used the mentorship model. And the mentorship model goes something like this. I know, you don't know, and I'm going to tell you and tell you why. So should I cross the river? No. Why not? Because there's a crocodile there. Look, I only have one arm. And so we went the mentorship role, and every time we told the entrepreneurs go left, they went right. Every time we said don't cross, they crossed. And then coaching became the big thing. And so we brought in coaches, and eventually our coaches were coming back and saying, well, it's not working either. So we said, what are you doing? And say, well, how would you feel if you went across the river? And what motivates you to want to be on the other side of the river? And then the entrepreneurs would go, look, I've got no time for that. Okay, just tell me,
go.
And
yeah,
then we'd
say,
go, and then they wouldn't go. So we started developing a new intervention called guiding. Okay. And guiding, we had accredited in 2011 by the British government. And effectively what it says that within the context, and that's why context is important, within the context of the small entrepreneurial, developing entrepreneurial environment, and I have to, that we believe this is a great mesh between the two, where you have, you're effectively giving the entrepreneur choices and their consequences, but not telling them what to do.
Making them think for themselves.
Because the other issue where we see is that you inadvertently build dependencies. So what you're finding in some of the mentorship models is there's a huge amount of ego stroking going on for the mentor.
Mm.
Who go, if it wasn't for you, it'd be amazing. And so you do. And the same thing that I did, and our first company in Race Corp was a company called Marathon Sanders, and we did, and then I said, look, I've got no more time to do, and then they didn't know what to do. They were completely dependent on me.
Oh, right.
So you create dependency if you're not self-conscious around that. So my view is that it's neither mentoring nor coaching, and within the context, and I have to already, within the context of growing small businesses. That's my view.
And the context is important, and you've got another context. Please share your experiences around what Phoebe has asked you, coaching, mentoring, and or what are your thoughts?
Thanks, Gareth. Yeah, I think personally there's a lot of overlap, but they're quite distinct. And I've used, in my Accenture career and now in my entrepreneurial career, I've used coaches at a certain time and I've used mentors at a certain time because I believe they play different roles and they should have different skills. So let me go back to my own personal career. So when I was young, and one of the things that often people ask is when are you ripe to either get mentoring or coaching?
Mm.
And I believe you're always right. I think anyone who wants to get ahead of themselves and they want to achieve more, get a mentor or a coach.
Mm.
And it's not whether you get a mentor or a coach. I think get someone that's ahead of you on the journey that can help you see the potholes, help you see the road ahead, and take you and help you compress all those years of learning into sometimes months, days, or minutes, in all honesty. So go back to my career. When I was very young in my career, I joined Accenture in 1985. I was very fortunate that someone in the organization who was a partner saw something in me that I didn't see in myself.
Mm.
And he called me in one day and said, Clive, I want to mentor you. I see something that you're a future partner of this organization.
That's interesting. So he grabbed you and said, I want to mentor you. Oh, right.
And that's probably the best lesson I ever learned, and I've taught to all my people, is don't wait for someone else to see what's the potential in you. Go and climb under their wing, and you don't have to have one mentor, you can have multiple. Because I had three mentors ultimately. I had a mentor who taught me about relationships, the importance of relationships. I had a mentor who taught me about entrepreneurship. And I met with, you taught me about business and sales. So I learned from, the fact I sit in this chair today, I'm grateful and thankful and privileged that some of the best mentors that I followed. And those mentors weren't from my family, they weren't from my community, they were from my business.
Mm-hmm.
So what we did subsequent to that, and I come back to the coaching, we made it a policy that every single person in Accenture, particularly firstly PDR, if you're from a previously disadvantaged background, you would have a mentor that was at the senior executive level. So the most senior people would mentor PDRs to help them get through the hard side, and get them into the executive team. The second thing, we took every single high-impact individual, and we made sure they had a mentor. And a mentor means someone internal in the organization that was way ahead of them in their journey. So they were 5, 6, 7, 8 years ahead of them.
Mm.
So that's on the mentoring side. So mentoring was more internal focus. It was more one-sided. It was, how do I give back to that person? Because never the mentor was going to get anything out of it. It was they're going to give back to the mentoree. And so I think that's the distinction between mentoring and coaching. Where we use coaching, and I think it's a big myth, when we started using coaching, and I introduced the policy in Accenture about 10, 12 years ago, that every senior executive would have a coach. Now, coaching initially was seen as, I'm just about out the door, I've got a problem, I'm a performance problem, they can't sort me out, give me a coach.
Yes.
And there was a big myth about coaching is for people that have a performance problem.
Yes.
Now, I think if you look at the millennials today, in all honesty, I think they expect to have coaching and mentoring. They see that as part of their career development. It's not, I'm an outcast, I'm a failure, I need a coach. So we introduced coaching to every person because we felt every single person is a mentor and every single person is a coach, but they bring fundamentally different skills and they do fundamentally different things to unleash that human potential in people.
Added value.
Added value, exactly. It's about the outcome, not about the process.
I guess, Phoebe, what I'm hearing here is that there are different contexts within which mentoring and coaching can take place. But ultimately, what it really boils down to is the ability to create capacity within that individual. But then also, I really liked what you said, Alon, the dependency issue. That's a big deal. Please advise our future CEOs community how to avoid becoming dependent on your mentor or coach.
Well, like, if I don't mind, Alon, I think first and foremost, let's talk about mentors. Don't only have one. Have a few. Because I don't think there's any mentor really that can teach you everything that you need to learn about entrepreneurship, about life, whether it's personal, whether it's business, whether it's entrepreneurship. So don't only have one. My wife's going to kill me. Don't only have one. But,
you didn't lose it. At least you still
like this, like this, like this.
Thank you. Thank you. Wow. I wish this was on video, not on podcast.
Yeah, who is videoing?
But I think you're right. I think you should depend on more than one mentor and understand mentorship typically is a longer term. It's about relationship building.
Mm.
Where I see coaching is more short term. It's about the intervention around performance. So that's my definition. I know there might be 10 people who get, you'll get 10 different opinions. But don't only rely on one mentor. And at some point, you're going to outgrow your mentor.
Yeah.
At some point, you're going to need to look at other mentors. I have today, I have about 3 or 4 mentors that are 10, 20 years ahead of me on my journey. And on my
entrepreneurship. Still today.
Today. And I haven't waited for them to find me. I phoned them and they said, with pleasure, Clive, I will mentor you. So wherever I'm making an investment, I go to these mentors, I say, what did you do? This is what I think. And it's again, the mentor doesn't tell me what to do. They try and share with me their experience and say, Clive, you must make this decision. It's your business. You make the decision. They don't tell me what to do. They share with me the experience.
Yeah, I'm in agreement in terms of the different mentors. So what we provide also is 5 different types of guides. And our view is that very much what's happened now is that if you've got a finance specialist and you're going through, let's call it a personal crisis, let's say you're getting divorced, the finance guy is the wrong guy to go to. Okay, he's really, I mean, maybe he's a very evolved finance guy. But so what we did is try to understand where the type of guiding that you require, strategy, finance, marketing, sales, and personal development. So every entrepreneur doesn't get one. To your point, they get multiple. And each entrepreneur will get 5 as part of their team. And each one, and they will meet every week to talk behind the entrepreneur's back about the entrepreneur. And why we do that is because anyone who's a parent here knows that if you've got kids, they go to mommy and they say, tell mommy one thing, and then they go to dad and they say that sure. thing. But mommy said this.
Good, right? I don't relate to that you at all. I never did that.
So they meet every week as the guiding team to ensure that they're all on the same page. Otherwise, you start giving divergent. You say one says go here, one goes there, but the entrepreneur has fed half the information to that person and another half to that person, and therefore they're concluding that these are your choices here. So it's very important that the guiding team is on one page. And also to your point, I also have a number of mentors in my life, also for different needs and also different styles. So sometimes you need a soft hand and sometimes you need a clap, you know? And so, you know when you need a clap. You know when somebody needs to wake you up.
Yeah. It's at that point you don't want to go to that mentor.
Have to go to that mentor.
Libby?
What mistakes do young executives make when choosing their first coach or their mentor?
Yeah, I think that's a great question. I think first, you know, I always treat being looking for your first mentor or your coach as like a CV, as like a recruiting interview. You know, what you can't do is, for one, find your coach or mentor off a CV. Because CVs, unfortunately, are not always the truth.
Hmm.
So I think it's a matchmaking game. It's a dating game. You've got to meet them. It's got to work both ways.
Yeah.
You know, a lot about mentoring, and I'm talking mentoring specifically now, is about trust. It's about I trust you. And mainly the mentoring relationship, it's not about me as the mentor. It's about you as the mentoree. So you've got to make sure there shouldn't be anything in it for me. This is about helping you grow your career. It's not what's in it for me. Because if you see there's something in it for me, I'm not the mentor for you. Coaching has a different outcome. So I think the number one lesson is, don't take it off the CV, do a matchmaking and find someone you can trust and that's got your interest and not theirs. I think number two, you know, with any mentor, you've got to, if they're taking their time out, and typically a mentor is ahead of you on the journey. They're quite a senior person and you've got to prepare, know what you want to get out of the meeting and respect their time. I have too often people phone me and say, please meet me. I say, with the greatest of pleasure, and they're half an hour late. Now, that's the end of it. I'll be honest with you. I'll see them once, and I'll never, ever see them again. Because let me tell you, when they don't respect their time, or they don't respect my time, they definitely don't respect their time. Also, you know, you've got to prepare. Don't talk trivial stuff to your
mentor. And we spoke about, sorry to disturb you, we just spoke about that in an earlier session, that you can't come to your mentor without some help me, and help me with what, you know? You've got to know your story. You've got to come to the party with some baggage.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, also get to know who your mentor is. Get to know their background. You want to build a relationship. It's not just about you. Mind that first meeting. So how did you make your successes? You know, and I'm not talking about myself, and I have to exclude myself, but most people want to talk about themselves. The most important person in the room is themselves. And they want to talk about themselves. So, but mentoring is a relationship. So it is about getting to know one another before you actually start helping and build that relationship. And lastly, I think it's, you know, to me again, I think when you pick your mentor, it's someone that you know has changed other people's lives. So it's not just what's on their CV. Speak to other people. How did they change your life? Was there something for them? And I find the most successful mentoring relationships is where money does not change hands. That's for me. So
I like
I'm not talking about what I learned. I mentor a lot of people. There's no money involved. I do it because I want to do it. I can do it. I can give back. And I only care about the success of the other person. And no money changes hands. And I find it works very, very well.
That's a very good point.
Alan Young, mistakes young executives have made when choosing a coach or a mentor?
So I can't speak for executives. I can only speak for the entrepreneurs.
Entrepreneurs.
So I'm in agreement also around the mentor. My view is that you have to be vulnerable quickly.
So vulnerable quickly.
Quickly.
Okay.
As a mentee. My mentor, who also is a dollar billionaire, when I was 23, he's been my mentor since 23. I spoke about this earlier. I went to him in one of my early sessions, and after half an hour, he looked at his watch and he said, are you going to carry on telling me how great you are? Do you want to get any value out of the session?
Okay.
You've got half an hour. You can carry on. Or, like, do you want to get some value? And that was a great punch in the stomach at the age of 23. And I promise you, every time I spent an hour with that man afterwards, I came in, I spoke about what I was fearful of, what I was concerned about, what I needed in that situation, and then listened. It's important to listen, take notes, etc. The second thing that maybe is important is to understand, I think, in South Africa, that mentorship, in most cases, is a misnomer. It's a private lesson. It should not be a private lesson.
Okay.
So what's happening with a mentor-mentee is that the content, it should not be about content as much about process. In other words, I tried this, it didn't work. I shouldn't be teaching you, for example, sales less cost of sales as GP.
Sure.
That's
sure.
A private lesson. Okay. What I should be talking about is, how are you applying your knowledge? Where are the issues of how you're applying your knowledge in the context of your business? And I see too much in the mentorship relationships, it's a private lesson, which it should not be. In my opinion, it should not be about. So that's already the two mistakes, is coming for private lessons and coming to express your how great you are in your
mentorship. Yeah. I don't know if I would ever do that, but I think you might. Don't you? No, you won't. I'm playing, of course. The private lesson thing I really like, because what you're doing, certainly with people that have been there and done that, is you want to understand the process. Process is at the heart of everything that is successful. You start a car, there's a process. You're really there to just look at your process and their process and see if there's an overlap. Is that accurate? Am I hearing it correctly?
Yeah, I think to me, if someone says to me, what's the big difference between a mentor and a coach? I think for when I'm going to want a mentor, has got to be a great listener. You've got to listen 80% of the time and maybe speak 20% of the time. Because you've got to
a mentor.
Okay. Because you've really got to hear what's on the other person's mind. I think very much what Alon was saying now about the mentor said, kicked him in the side of the place and said, stop telling me about yourself. You've got to be able to listen a lot as a mentor. Understand where the person is. Really get into their headspace. Understand what the main challenges are. Because for me, if I hear 25 problems, I've got to distill that down to the 2-3 things that they actually need my advice on. I can't help them with 25, but I can change your life maybe just helping with 2 or 3. And I'm not there to tell them. I'm there to, and I think very important as a mentor, I try and get the facts and not use opinions. Because opinions are very, very dangerous. When I give advice, it's based on the facts. And it's not my business, it's theirs. So they ultimately have to make that decision. But I say to them, it could be A, B, C. Let me tell you what I've seen in the past. What do you think is going to work for you?
Suggestions.
So I try and help help them make the decision, but I don't make, it's their business, it's not my business. I think a coach is more, and that's very development driven. A coach to me is more task orientated. You're not a good speaker, you're not a good this, you're not a good this. Let me help you very much, like you said, let me help you sort this thing out. It's more short term, but it's more very focused on a specific issue. There either be something wrong in your current job or a future skill you need to develop to get to the next level. That's what, how in Accenture we differentiate between a coach and a mentor.
Alan, for you, okay, so Clive said what makes a great mentor is being a great listener. What is another great characteristic trait of a good mentor or a good coach?
Trying to understand where that other individual is coming from. It's a big issue, as an example, with where you've got, let's call it a young person and an older mentor, which is generally the setup. Is the young person in, and once again, our context is around entrepreneurs.
Yes.
I'm really in this relationship because I want to build my business. The probability is that I'm desperate for sales. My lens is that that guy is rich, connected, and he can open all the doors that I need to be opened. He's sitting there saying, well, you're young, you're unproven, and I'm not going to open my network until I trust that you will perform, because I'm not going to burn my reputation, you know, by recommending you to somebody and then you don't perform and then that door is shut for me. I've worked too long and hard to build my reputation. When that honesty and you understand where each other are coming from and you get to a point 2-3 sessions down the line where you can say, okay, I know what you want. You know what I want. Okay. And you can have that honest conversation. Then I think that's a very powerful relationship. But when it doesn't get to that level of integrity, when it's all superficial, well, I want to give back and you're not...
obligatory.
You're not going deeper. You're not trying understanding the... And I'm going to use the word desperation of many mentees. Okay, they're really desperate and they're putting on a veneer of confidence. But meantime, they're dying inside and they need you. So it's about being sensitive to that, but also taking them through a journey to get them to where they need to be for you to really open those doors for them.
Can I just want to add to what Alan was saying there? I mean, I had a situation the other day where I actually was doing a family friend a favor. A friend of his was a young entrepreneur, wanted to get into one of the biggest corporates in South Africa. I phoned a buddy of mine who's one of the top guys, did him a favor, opened the door, and it was a disaster. Buddy phoned me that night and said, Clive, please never do this to me again. That's exactly what Alan says. I lost credibility completely. In fact, you know, they talk about the emotional bank account. I made too many withdrawals and I had no deposits. It's gone. It's over. My favors with this person is over. So, and in all honesty, I didn't spend the time, exactly what Alon's saying, in actually finding and actually seeing, is there a trusting relationship first? I did the favor without actually applying my mind. I didn't do enough thinking and I did the favor and it came back and it's bit me in the backside.
So I am a young, potentially dynamic, up-and-coming, high potential. I want a mentor. I hear what you guys are saying about integrity and trust, these points. I do want results. Perhaps I'm willing to stick to it. How long would you say real trust, real integrity takes to develop when it comes to a relationship with between two individuals?
A little longer first for a change.
I'm going to sound like a politician. It depends. It depends on the level of vulnerability of the mentee, first of all. Once you get rid of the BS and the veneer, then you can go... And the moment you get to an integrous relationship, that can happen immediately. I've had it happen immediately, and I've had it never happen. So it's about the time to integrity, and that depends on the two individuals.
I think just to add to that, I mean, I'll be honest, I feel exactly the same way. I've kidded off. We've, for a complete stranger, who's asked me to mentor them. We sit for an hour, we have a coffee, and I say, wow, this person inspires me. Because remember, I also want to get something back. I don't really think it's a one-sided thing. It's a two-sided thing. I don't want to get back money. I want to get back inspiration. I want to also learn. If I don't learn from the mentee and learn about maybe it's a sales channel or a marketing channel or a bit about the industry or a bit about something, then also I get bored. I also want to get something back, and it's more intrinsically motivated than extrinsically motivated, in honesty.
Love that.
So I've had times where in 1 hour, we just hit it off, and I've been meeting people now for years and years and years. I've also had a session yesterday with someone that set me up. Again, doing a buddy a friend. And after 30 minutes, I looked at her and I said, and she looked at me and we said, what are we doing here? This is a total waste of time. And the real issue to me, and I want to share it with everyone here today, she was not coachable.
What do you mean?
She was not coachable. Now, one of the most important things to me about whether you're in the corporate life, whether you're in government, whether you're an entrepreneur, the most important thing to me is you have to be coachable.
Meaning what?
You have to be prepared to listen. Stick your ego aside. You fall in love with your, many entrepreneurs, they fall in love with their little baby. Mm. Don't tell me my little baby's got pimples, because maybe your baby has got pimples.
Mm.
And if they're not coachable, I just say to them, look here, I don't think you're ready for this yet.
Mm.
Call me in 6 months, I'm happy to look at you again.
Mm.
But if they're not, I'm not saying I'm right, but if they're not even prepared to listen to other ideas. No, and I hear this, Clive, I've done this. But their business is 4,000 Rand.
Mm.
So I'm saying, I know you've done it, but intellectually you understand it, but you don't necessarily mean that you've done it.
Mm.
So I think coachability probably, and I'm looking at the other side, is the most important. If you want to find a mentor, you need to be coachable. If you really fall in love with your baby, and I say this with the most respect to entrepreneurs, it's a big issue.
Mm.
I don't know how you feel about that.
I 100% agree. And you can see it from their body language as well. You can pick it up straight away. When you start talking, you can see how this is,
exactly.
This is the first thing that happens. And then they go like this, and then you can see they go, and they say, yeah, I've done that. Yeah.
Who's folding their arms in the audience?
Are there any questions from the audience, Gareth?
We want your questions. Please, if you have something.
Please.
Okay, so where do you find a mentor specific to your needs? Okay, Alon?
So I'm going to look on my phone today. I met a guy here. He sent me an email saying professional bag carrier.
Professional bag carrier.
And he met me here and he wanted to be mentored.
Yeah.
And I've got a day job.
Sure.
And I can't. But I have a few people that I mentor, and they've all had a novel way. One guy sent me an email and said, I will work for you for free. For 3 months. And I said, well, how come you can? And I asked him five questions.
Mm.
He started off with my driver, became my PA, because I find my PA, so he became my driver and PA. Now he heads up a division at Race Corp now. And I've mentored him with a view to him then starting his own business. But he came in that at a novel way, where he made it interesting for me. My response to the question around a specific is that I don't think your best mentors are going to be about specifics. I think it's more about process. Your role is the content. You can get content from everywhere. You can go to the internet. You can go. There's enough information in the world today. The issue is the application of that knowledge. The issue is how do you embed that knowledge into your business? And a good, in my opinion, a good guide will help you embed the knowledge into how you actually do the doing of what your business is. So you don't then rely and need the person who knows that specific thing. That's your role. That's mine.
Can I add to that? What is your name? Sean. I mean, I'll give you exactly how I found the 4 or 5 mentors I've got now. So I actually went and found people I really respected who've grown huge businesses, also multi, you know, billion dollar heirs. And I sent them an email. I said, this is what I do. This is what I'm looking for. Would you be nice? Would you give me the time once a month for half an hour to mentor me? Do you know what my response was? Every one of them came back and said, with the greatest pleasure.
Mm.
You know, people do this to me. I get half a dozen emails a day. And you know, you don't understand how humbling it is when someone sees something in you and they actually ask for your time back. I've never said no to anyone.
Mm.
So I would say you need to find the half a dozen guys you really respect in your industry that are ahead of you on the journey. You need to find someone 10 years ahead of you on the journey where you want to go in 10 years' time and contact those people. Like, not necessarily from your company. I'm not talking about that. Could be anyone. It's so humbling when that person receives an email from you, from a stranger. And honestly, more than likely, they'll say with the greatest of pleasure. Does that answer your question?
We'll come to your question in a moment. Let me just ask this quick question from a mentee perspective. What are 3 questions that a good mentor would ask right off the bat? That would give me an indication, a young guy, that this is someone I want to be sitting with.
My first question is, why are you doing this?
Okay.
The second question is, where do you want this to go? Okay. And the third question is, how do you make money? Once again, I'm framing this within the entrepreneurial context. I mean, there's many questions, but those are 3 big questions. Why are you going to put yourself through this hell over the next couple of years?
Yeah.
It's very important you understand their why. very important to understand what they're seeing, where they see this could go. And it's also very important to work out, if they've worked out, how they go, how 100 Rand becomes 150 Rand or 200 Rand.
Your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, there's lots of questions I ask, but I really ask one question. I say, why are you sitting here today? Because that tells me why I'm there, why they want me, what's their challenges, what's holding them back. They've probably reached maybe their glass ceiling and they need someone just to, and I call it being, they're being stuck. They need to get unstuck. And often they say, Clive, I've reached 10 million. I can't get it to 11. I don't know what to do. Mm. I just need someone to help me unblock the blockage that's causing this. And honestly, that one question I ask them, I get 15 answers. And then I know, then I can work out where the real blockage is. And it's really one question. And that's all I actually focus on.
Okay, very good. The why comes across very strongly.
And it's the why.
It's the why.
Question as well. Okay.
Right, my question will be quick. I think you are both established and have done well within your respective careers.
Oh, well,
my question
is around. Thank you very much.
Maybe
I think that was us. I'm just playing.
Well done.
my question is with regards to capacity, because I can imagine that we all as people who would like to make success in the future would also be looking at successful people. So how do you actually have the capacity to actually mentor so many people, having been, you know, on top of that, having families and so forth. The second question, I think we spoke about being vulnerable and being open. So, Clive, I've got this one question for you. Would you be my mentor?
Absolutely. Thank you. I'm going to do a bit of a sales pitch to answer the question. I would very, very happily mentor you because I love people prepared to stand up and actually ask a question in public, and I'm very happy to do that. But you've got to understand, it's probably in my diary is about 2 months' time. I do work 16 hours a day because I'm one of those guys that just, my mind never goes to sleep. But just let me tell you what we are doing. Because, you know, the community that we are in and the Black Management Forum got together about 3 or 4 months ago. And we said, how do we solve South Africa's problems? We've got problems. And we actually looked at three themes. We looked at entrepreneurship, we looked at education, and we looked at there's another issue, but it's more of a psychological issue. And the one initiative myself and a couple of other guys have got involved with is what we're calling a national mentorship movement. So we've got people like Mark Tebbe, who's the head of the Chamber of Mines. We've got the head of the Black Management Forum. We've got Maurice Gadebe, who's the vice chairman of SASL. We've got Dr. Teddy Bletcher, who works with the small business minister. Myself, we've got a guy called Paul Bacher, who heads up, there's an organization called All Jet, which is, they've got about 700 mentors. And we've got EOH on board. They're doing all the technology. We've got a marketing company. So what I'm saying is what we're trying to do now is we actually want to democratize mentorship. So we've created this national mentorship movement to really help unleash the human potential of every single person in South Africa. And why now? Because I think we can do it now. And the reason we can do it now is because of mobile technology. Because we can now reach, when I retired 3 years ago, I started going to rural areas. And it was interesting what I found was, I went with the SAB Miller Kickstart program. And what I found was there was great ideas and great products. But what was lacking was the entrepreneurs knowing how to take that idea to build a big business. And I realized, and I remember speaking to the guy saying, they just need a mentor. They just need someone ahead of them on the journey. They can say, I'm at this T-junction. Do I go right or do I go left? So we're building a national mentorship movement now. We've got Sima Disi involved. We've got Mati Madisi. She's involved in it as well. She's going to sit on the steerco, etc. So watch your space. Soon we are going to back to exactly your question. We realize the one-on-one high-touch mentorship, like I'm sure Alon does, is not something that's going to change this country. We've got a vision in the National Mentorship Movement of 100,000 mentors, mentoring 1 million people, could be government officials, could be corporate, could be entrepreneurs, to create 2 million jobs. Mm. And that's our vision, and I urge every single one of you to be part of this movement, whether you want to be on the mentoring side, the mentoring side, or both. We want to help bring and democratize, and we're going to use a dating algorithm, because I don't want to put Adrian Gore ahead of a guy working in a spaza shop in, that's not going to work. Set up an algorithm where we're going to match mentors. It's a dating site, basically. It's a dating site that's going to date a mentor with a mentoree, and we're going to be rolling this out shortly, and we want to get the whole country on
board. Great idea, huh, everyone?
Yeah,
awesome idea. We love that.
We have a question here. Please just tell us your name, please.
It's great, class.
Good afternoon. My name is Bongani Mthethwa.
Bongani.
And my question is very simple. From my experience of looking for mentors, I find that a lot of times mentors have that approach where they think you literally don't know anything about what you want to go into. So you walk out there hoping to get a specific question answered, but because they felt like you don't know anything, they literally told you to go do your homework, you know, when you've already done the homework. So how do you bridge that gap of, I'd call it some form of arrogance, and actually acknowledging and understanding how far have I come as somebody approaching you looking for mentorship, rather than assuming I don't know anything and you're 20 years ahead and therefore you want to start me at the beginning when I've already started at the beginning?
Okay, good question. That's interesting.
Alon?
Should they give me the tough ones? My view is you're not selling it properly then. So I would put the responsibility back on you. If you're experiencing that, that means that you haven't pitched yourself to say, look, I spent the last 3 years doing this, this, and this. This is what I need, what I'd like from you specifically. To me, it's your pitch. And I don't know enough in that short while to understand what you would do. And you might also, it might also be that you've just got an arrogant mental, you know, like that it is an arrogant guy and you got the wrong guy. But to what Clive and I were saying, if the guy didn't sit there and listen for the first half of your, and ask questions and listen and even take notes, I think he or she's the wrong person.
Taking notes.
Sorry, I just want to add to that. You've got the wrong mentor. And in all honesty, it's exactly the dating game I said. You've got to make sure there's a culture fit between you and the mentor. Clearly, you don't have that fit. You need to go and find the appropriate person. Keep on looking and you'll find someone. The first person is not always the right person.
Are you happy? Excellent. We only have time for perhaps one more question. I saw two hands, so we'll go there and here. Let's do the questions at the same time, and we'll try quickly work through them, but we are running out of time.
Okay, good afternoon.
Very quickly, please.
Good afternoon.
Afternoon.
My name is Nkululeko Ngubane. I just want to find out, when does one actually need a mentor? Is it before you start something or after you've started something?
Okay, so when does someone need a mentor? Okay, we've
like got in the business, yes.
We've got that. Let's just get the mic across here very, very quickly. Okay, so how do you get involved? You speak to Clive. Let's go to the first question, which was
when is the right time?
And I see you shaking your head. And
it's always the right time. There's no right time.
The best time to plant a tree is 25 years ago. The second best time to plant a tree is now, and mentorship is exactly the same. It's never too late to get, but please get someone ahead of you on the journey, because you will, honestly, and if I was going to give a closing little 3 minutes, I'd urge every single one of you, it doesn't matter where you are on your journey, it doesn't matter if you're an entrepreneur, corporate, if you're providing a service into government, get someone that's ahead of you on the journey that you trust, because honestly, that will help you compress years and years and years of knowledge literally into minutes. And it can change your, it fundamentally can change your life by having not a mentor, the right mentor.
Isn't that so motivating?
Cool. Are you happy with that answer? Okay, Alon, let's just give us a 2-minute roundup of your thoughts. Put yourself in a future CEO's shoes and just speak to that person, please.
I'm just going to take the last sentence, find the right mentor. And this is something that's very, very close to my heart. Is there a lot of people purporting to be mentors out there that are not?
Certainly.
So I'll give you an example of that. We have, for every person who applies to be a guide in Race Corp, we go through 104 people who apply, one gets in.
Oh, wow, okay.
One out of 105, effectively. They then have to go through continuous professional development as guides, but that's an aside. As part of their entry requirement, they have to go through a whole set of sort of phases. Mm. The first phase is what we call the Busi case study. And the Busi case study is a story about Busi, and she's owns a clothing store, and it's a word story, but it's an income statement. There's sales, there's cost of sales, there's expenses.
Okay.
It's quite clear if you understand business. In 2013, 31... so-called mentors from government and quasi-government institutions applied to Race Corp for positions. Out of 31, two could work out net profit. Two.
That's a problem.
The problem is what the other people are doing. Mm. So if you've got the wrong mentor, they can do more damage than good. So that is my only caution in this, is that you speak about trust. You've got to take responsibility to work out if maybe this person doesn't know what the hell they're talking about. Don't just immediately, because they're labeled a mentor, view them as the authority. Be a little bit skeptical and cynical until that you can feel the proof and feel the power and the experience come through.
Very nice. Very nice. Klubi, just your thoughts. Let's summarize. What have you taken from this conversation?
It's a journey, hey? And it's a journey of self-discovery, and you want to surround yourself with people that can help you and motivate you and inspire you. But at the same time, you always want it to be reciprocal. Well, for me, you know what I mean? Just as much as somebody can help me, I want to be able to have brought something into their life as well. And I think that's the power and the two-way phase of a coach or a mentee.
I really like what you're saying there, because you have to know yourself before you can go and learn from someone else. We've also spoken about trust being so important in the mentoring relationship, and that really forms the basis of finding the right mentor. Gentlemen, thank you very much for being here. Thank you for sharing your experience.
Yes.
A round of applause, please.